Our reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Let us listen for the word of God.
Be hospitable to one another without complaining.
Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received.
Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God.
Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ.
To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir, and thank the Davis family for reading for us this morning. I'm getting very excited because July is almost here. July is our Outstanding Preachers series, and we've got some really, really outstanding preachers and leaders coming this July, July 1st. I want to especially encourage parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, Tom Whitewolf Fawcett, who was head of the Board of Church and Society of the United Methodist Church for many years, will be here. Tom has asked if he can do the children's sermon. And Tom is a Native American from upstate New York, and he wants to tell the children one of the tribal stories that he grew up hearing. So if there's a child in your life, I'd especially encourage them to come and you to bring them to hear Tom. Tom's daughter, Kim Fawcett, was a member of our church for a number of years. She moved away 6 or 7 years ago, but she'll be back that Sunday, so it'll be great to see her as well. And then Jennifer Brooks, who teaches preaching at Garrett Seminary, two of our bishops, Bishop Young and Bishop Dick, who have been very active and vocal on behalf of Inclusive United Methodist Church, will be here. And then someone I'm really, really eager for you to meet, Trey Hall. Trey's a young pastor who's begun a new church in downtown Chicago. It began as a welcoming, reconciling congregation, and it's a church that's really creative and doing things that are out of the box. They're the ones who taught us to go to the metro stop and give out ashes on Ash Wednesday and a number of other things that are just taking the church outside of the walls of the building and connecting with people around the city of Chicago. Trey was on the staff of the Reconciling Ministries Network before he became a pastor, and it'll just be exciting for you to have the opportunity to meet him. So some people have asked, because I'm not preaching, whether I'm going to be here. And yes, this is my month. This is the month I get to sit in the pew with Jane and listen to just outstanding preaching. So this is not like a time for me to leave. And I'll be here, and I will be enjoying listening to our special preachers this July. So our topic this month is hospitality. And my biggest concern is to help us understand that hospitality is not just about courtesy or niceness or politeness. Hospitality is a core Christian value. It's actually a core Judeo-Christian value. It is as important as anything else in our faith. It is as important as worship. It is as important as prayer. It's as important as being honest. It's a key practice, and it's a key spiritual practice. One of the things we've said is that hospitality to others is actually a practice, a spiritual practice, that helps us to be more hospitable to God and actually helps us to be more hospitable to our own selves. You know that many of us are actually not very hospitable to our own selves. We're critical of ourselves. We're judgmental of ourselves. We don't like parts of ourselves. There's feelings and thoughts and longings within us that we wish weren't there and that we treat rudely. And so hospitality to others, hospitality to strangers, is not just about being polite and nice. It is a core spiritual practice, because our ability to be hospitable to God and our ability to be hospitable to our own selves is dependent upon our willingness to be hospitable to others. So I want to take a look this morning at the passage about hospitality that the Davises read from 1 Peter. I found myself fascinated this week with this passage about hospitality, and I'm actually going to work my way through it, and I would invite you to get out one of the Pew Bibles, and you can turn to 1 Peter 4, 9 to 11, and you can follow along, because this is sort of going to be what the old-time preachers called an expository sermon, where we go through the scripture passage almost line by line to explore what we can find. So here it is. 1 Peter 4, it begins with verse 9. I love this verse. It says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining." Be hospitable to one another without complaining. I wonder how many of you know that when the Bible instructs its readers not to do something, it was not being hypothetical. In other words, if you read in the Bible that you shouldn't do something, papyrus was very expensive. People didn't waste space or saying something unless people were actually doing what they told them not to do, and unless there were enough people doing it that it was worth taking the time and the space to mention it. And so when it says, be hospitable to one another without complaining, the only reason it said that is because people must have been complaining. Here's the context. 1 Peter was almost surely not written by the Apostle Peter, because it was a very late piece of scripture. It was written late in the history of the early church, after the early church had begun to be institutionalized. Matter of fact, some people think that it's called Peter because there was actually a precursor to a pope already at this point in history, someone who sat on the seat of Peter. There was no pope yet, but the church was moving in the direction of becoming more institutionalized and more hierarchical. And the church was becoming less of a fringe movement. Christians were becoming more accepted within the society. When the church began to be a follower of Jesus, was to be on the fringe. And often, most followers of Jesus in the very beginning were poor and sort of looked down on by the rest of the society. But by this time, Christians who worked hard and who were honest and diligent were beginning to become successful. And so by the time of 1 Peter, surely a couple things had begun to happen. In the early days, when Christians were in danger, hospitality was a necessity. If you were a follower of Jesus and you went to another town, you might be in danger because of your faith and your commitment. And so it was absolutely essential that the other followers of Jesus in the town that you went to opened their doors to you and took care of you. But as the church became more successful, more acculturated, more affluent, surely two things began to happen. First of all, surely some people began abusing the obligation of hospitality. You and I know that whenever something is offered to others, surely sooner or later, someone will abuse it. So you need to be careful about the invitations that you extend and the commitments that you make. I listen to a public radio show, the podcast, almost every week out of Wisconsin. And a few weeks ago, the big news story in Wisconsin was a protest outside of a diner that advertised a Sunday all-you-can-eat fish fry. And there was a man who went to the all-you-can-eat fish fry, and after his 12th plate, the management of the diner came out and said that they thought he had had enough, and he wouldn't have to pay his bill just so long as he left. He was very upset. He called the police and accused the diner of false advertising. And under pressure, they gave him 8 more pieces of fried fish, which he ate and then asked for more. And at that point, they cut him off entirely. And so for weeks, every Sunday, he had a placard and marched outside the diner saying that they had not fulfilled their obligation and their promises. I had a friend a number of years ago who was going through a divorce. Divorces can be very expensive, and he was adjusting to having been part of a 2-income household, and for 3 or 4 years, my friend had no money for vacations. So he would call up and ask if he could come and take his vacations at our house. He got a lot of vacation. And so he'd come to our house for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And it was during his vacations at our house that we figured out why he had ended up divorced. I won't go into too much detail, but let me just say that housework increased radically. And I think the 4th time that he called and asked whether he could take his vacation at our house, if I had said yes another time, I would have ended up divorced. So I have no doubt that in the life of the early church, over time, people began abusing the hospitality offered to them. And the second thing that almost certainly happened is that the followers of Jesus, as they became more affluent and more successful in their businesses and in their work and more popular in the societies in which they lived, their faith, which in the early days had been the very core and center of their life, had been all their life. Their faith began to become less and less central, less and less important in their life. And other things began to crowd out the life of faith and the community of the church. And people began to have less time and less patience to spend providing hospitality to others by the time that the book of 1 Peter was written. So 1 Peter says, be hospitable to each other without complaining, because by this time in the church's life, there was a lot of complaining about extending hospitality to others. I think the best book I ever read on hospitality was written by the priest Henry Nouwen. It's a book called Reaching Out, The Three Movements of the Spiritual Life. You'll find a link to it on the sermon section of our webpage. Henry Nouwen talks about three kinds of hospitality. He talks about prayer as hospitality, being open to God, being hospitable to God, making room for God. He talks about being hospitable to others, being hospitable to strangers, and then he talks about being hospitable to our own selves. One of the things Henry Nouwen says in the book is a sentence I used as the theme for today's sermon. He says, poverty makes a good host. How many of us have had the experience of going someplace in the world where people are absolutely poor, and people have been amazingly hospitable to us? Whatever they had, whatever little bit they had, they shared generously with us. The space in their homes that they had, they shared generously with us, sometimes giving us their own beds and sleeping on the floor. They had all the time in the world to spend with us. They were never too busy to spend time with us. Poverty makes a good host. Poverty leaves room for hospitality. Affluence tends to crowd hospitality out of our lives. So I want us to go back and look carefully at what 1 Peter says, and you can see it in your Bibles. Because poverty and affluence are more than how much money you have in the bank or how much real estate you own. Poverty and affluence are about more than money or property or assets or finances. It's about that, but it's about much more. So look at what 1 Peter says. He says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. And then he says three things, and I want to walk us through these three things. He says, first of all, like a good steward of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Like good stewards of the grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. See, we do not need to, and not only do we not need to, we should not share with other people gifts that we ourselves have not received. This is very, very hard in a affluent society because in an affluent society, the expectation is that all of us ought to be good at a lot of things, maybe everything. I would hate to be a kid growing up in Northwest Washington, D.C., or suburban Maryland, or Northern Virginia. Because in our affluent culture, the sort of expectation is that kids have to be good at everything. They've got to get good grades. They've got to either be an athlete or a musician or have extracurricular activities. They got to go to things after school every day, and they've got to be involved in church over the weekend, and they've got to play soccer at the same time that they're supposed to be in church. And the expectation of kids is that they have to have all of the gifts. My God, I can remember my parents being proud of me because I could play with blocks. I can remember them actually saying, is indeed really good at playing with blocks. And I was a success because I was gifted in playing with blocks. But the expectation is in an affluent society that kids, and honestly, that adults have to be good at everything. And here's the deal. If you think that you need to have all of the gifts and be good at everything, it crowds other people out of your life who have gifts that you don't have. The Bible talks about this, and we're going to spend significant amount of time on this in the beginning of the fall. The Bible says that each of us is given a gift. And the reason the church exists, the reason the community of the church exists, is so that we can bring our gifts together, our diverse gifts together, so that all of us here together as a community will bring our diverse gifts together, and all of the gifts of God will be present in the congregation, not because each of us have all of the gifts, God forbid, because then we wouldn't need to be part of a congregation, but because each of us brings our particular gift and we enrich the congregation with the gift that we've been given, and then we are enriched because we're not trying to exercise all of the gifts ourselves. We're enriched by the gifts of other people that we are able to welcome into our lives because we don't have to be good at everything. Matter of fact, we're not supposed to be good at everything. We're each supposed to have our particular gift that we contribute so that others can contribute their gifts as well. So here's a sentence I'd like everyone to use this week at some point in your life. I'll say it, and then you repeat it after me just to practice it. Here's a sentence. And this is for you to use sometime this week at some place in your life. I'll say it, and then you practice saying it. Here's a sentence. I am not good at that. Your turn. You didn't sound like you meant it. You sound like Washingtonians who cannot admit that you're not good at anything. So let's try it again. I am not good at that.
I am not good at that.
If you do not insist on trying to have all of the gifts that God has spread out among many people, you create space in your life. Are you getting this? You create space in your life for other people to shine, for other people to contribute, for other people to participate. So that's the first thing 1 Peter says. It says, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, not every gift. Second thing 1 Peter says is this, whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. That's very, very interesting. What does it mean? That you and I are not supposed to share a word that God has not given us. You and I are not supposed to pretend to know things we don't know. My ministry became much more fun when I learned how to say three words. And the three words were, I don't know. I used to think that I was supposed to know everything about God and spirituality and life. So someone would come to me and say, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'd begin quoting this book or that, and then at some point I learned to say, I don't know, I don't know. But this is what I do know. I don't know why good things happen to bad people, but I know that ours is a faith in which we believe that God came to earth and experienced the worst thing that could happen to any human being and rose again. But that's what I do know. People come, especially young people, this is such a relief. And they ask me questions about sexuality, and I say, I don't know. What a relief. But I have a card here of a person who is trained in the area of sexuality that I would really encourage you to go talk to. Share only the word, the truth that God has given to you. You don't need to know everything. So repeat it after me. I'm going to say it, and then you say it. And this is something I want you to practice this week. And the sentence is, I don't know that. You try it.
I don't know that.
You're getting better. When you Do not try to know things that have not been given to you to know. You create room in your life for people who know things that you don't know to fill it. That's hospitable. That's hospitality. Creating, being willing to say, I don't know. Create space in your life to be hospitable to other people whom God has given a truth that God has not given to you. 1 Peter, being willing to say, I'm not good at that. Being willing to say, I don't know. And the third thing that 1 Peter says about being hospitable without complaining is this. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. We don't need to be stronger than we are. We don't need to be stronger than the strength that God has given us. As a matter of fact, when we try to be stronger than the strength God has given us, we become inhospitable to people whose ministry would be fulfilled if we were weak enough to allow them to help us. Hospitality means being weak enough and aware of our weakness and being willing to be weak so that other people can minister into our lives. One of the big problems of mission-oriented, Kevin, liberal churches is that we think we need to be the helpers all the time. That we think we have to be running out there helping other people and meeting everybody's need, no matter what it is. And it turns out that we ourselves have needs, and that we need to be cared for, and we need someone to care about us and to love us. And we react to our needs by thinking that we need to be stronger, that we'll feel better about things if we just go out and help more people. And so every night we're somewhere helping somebody else, when the thing that we need most of all is to become vulnerable to someone else so that they can help us and minister to us. And the harder we work at trying to get our needs met by helping other people, the more inhospitable we are, and we turn people into clients rather than brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the problem with other liberal churches besides Foundry. Other liberal churches other liberal churches do that. So here's another sentence to try. And this is probably the hardest sentence of all. And the sentence is, you try it after me. The sentence is, I need help. Try it.
I need help.
It's a very, very hard sentence. But it's the most hospitable sentence of all, because when we say, I need help, we create room within ourselves. We acknowledge our poverty so that someone else can come to the place of our need and feed us and nurture us and care for us. Henry Nouwen, I invited Henry Nouwen to Drexel University for a day when I was the chaplain at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Henry Nouwen came and we spent a day together, and he talked to student groups and he talked to a gathering of faculty that I brought together. And it was within the last decade of Father Nouwen, Henry's life. And Henry was sort of summing up his experience, the learnings, and the struggles of his life, probably one of the best-selling authors in America at that point. And the message that he brought to ambitious engineering students at Drexel University and to the faculty was a message about what he called downward mobility. He said that in order for us to become whole, we all have to learn how to live like poor people. People who do not have to be good at everything, who don't have to be self-sufficient, and people who don't have to know everything, and people who can sometimes need the help and support of others. So my prayer is that really sincerely, we here, we Washingtonians, we Methodist Washingtonians might be able to learn how to say, I'm not good at that. I don't know that. And I need your help.